Ramsey TV.
Welcome to another week of Scriptural Excellence. I am Martin Zender, your host on MZTV. And the MZ of that, that's me, Martin Zender. That's the answer, Martin Zender. The TV, of course, stands for Titillating Vagaries. And that's what we do here. Martin Zender, actually, Martin Zender's Titillating Vagaries. And you are here, and it's a new week. And yes, I got a haircut. I'm not real happy with it, to be honest with you. It's just a little too short. It's not my, you know, standard crazy man look. But anyway, here, I'll give you the full look. I'll take the headphones off. It's still curling a little bit in back, but I'm not. It's just too. I knew I was in trouble when my hairdresser said, "Oh, you look like you're ready to go to a job interview." I know it was bad news. But as they say, the difference between a bad haircut and a good haircut is 2 weeks. All right, so I want to talk about the compliments of the eras. We've been talking about eras here lately. An era is a season. It's a season during which certain things happen. For instance, you could say that winter is a season. Of course you can. So it's an era. Winter, summer, spring, fall. These could be, technically speaking, eras. But generally speaking, that is, and how this word is generally used, it's the Greek word kairos. And I'm really disappointed that this word is translated like 5 different ways in the concordant literal New Testament. If we want one word translated 5 different ways, we will go to the King James Version. I thought you were better than that, CLNT, so I'm rather disappointed. The Greek word, but of course, when they do that, they translate it with synonyms, but apparently the usage demands it, and so they have to come up with synonyms. At least it's not like the KJV. I guess I really shouldn't compare them. That wasn't fair. KJV puts in opposite meanings. They don't use synonyms. For instance, the KJV translates the Greek word ion with age in one place and eternity in another place. Those aren't synonyms. Those are what we call antonyms. So an age is a period of time, a season. God does different things during different eras. What's the difference between an ion and a kairos? That's a great question. Ion translated eon, kairos translated season. There has to be a difference because it's 2 different Greek words. An eon, well, the literal meaning of eon is un-if being. That is, eon is like lasting. It's sure. It's going to happen. Un-if being. It's a 3-part Greek word. Yes, ion. That little tiny word, 3 parts. Can you believe it? Those Greeks really packed it in. A is not or un. I-O, something in there. Either it's the I'm not sure, but it stands for if. And the last 2 letters, or 1 letter, not sure, is being, un-if being. So it's a double negative. Un-if being means a definite being, means a time period that will take place. It is limited, yes, because it's pluralized in the scripture. We hear of times before the eons, after the eons, and just the fact that you pluralize it, obviously it's a period of time, but it is a period of time that is going to happen. Un-if being. This thing's, it's not an if. It's not an if. The eon is, if I could put it in one term, it would be, yeah, that describes an eon. Okay? Remember that. Did that noise end? Did it have a beginning and an end? Yes. Did it sound sure of itself? Of course it did. So that's the noise that would go along with the Greek word ion. What is the noise that would go along with season? This is the noise. Okay, this tells you that things happen during a season. That's why there's 3 different. Whereas with the ion, you have, it's just time going on in its certainty and its un-ifness. But a season, things happen during seasons or eras. So we have versus. I think I'll put noises to every Greek word in the Greek scripture vocabulary. That would be pretty exciting. I don't think anybody's ever done that. It would have to be an audio version. And of course, the whole thing, I'd be reading my sound version of the scriptures and would be like. That was Ephesians chapter 1. The whole thing. That would be great for blind people. Of course, I would have to explain all the noises. Anyway, so getting back to these eras, here's the verse. Let's start. It's hard to know where to start in Ephesians chapter 1 because it's so loaded. I'll start with He lavishes on us. That's a great place to start because I love it when God lavishes stuff on us. He doesn't hold back. And it has to do with grace and the verse 7. He lavishes on us in all wisdom and prudence, making known to us the secret of His will. Of course, not many people know the secret of His will. This is being made known to us as opposed to the rest of humanity. In accord with His delight, which He purposed in Him, to have an administration. This is us, members of the body of Christ. This is a secret not revealed before this passage. Which, if you want to know specifically this passage, it's... That's the passage in my sounds version. Each sound representing a Greek word, okay? That illustrates it. It's not just random sounds. Each sound illustrates the Greek word. Obviously, that's kairos. Obviously, that's ion, okay? And you can take it from there. So, we have an administration of the complement of the eras to head up all in the Christ, both that in the heavens and that on the earth, in whom our lot was cast, being designated beforehand according to the purpose of the one who was operating all in accord with the counsel of His will, that we should be for the Lord of His glory, who are pre-expectant in the Christ. There's so much here. I'll start at the end there. We are pre-expectant. We're expecting something before everybody else. We're expecting something even before Israel. Christ is coming for Israel when He comes down and sets His feet on the Mount of Olives. He's coming for us in a secret takeaway. That is the snatching away. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So, and it's nice to know that this is in accord with the counsel of His will. Yeah, He wants to do this. I'm going backwards from Ephesians 1:12. Now I'm in verse 11. And all this He is operating, God is, in accord with the counsel of His own will. Not your will, not mine, but His. That's comforting in that you and I have wills, but we cannot effect them because our wills are subservient to God's will. This goes against the Christian teaching of human free will, where apparently the human will trumps the divine will because the divine will is to save everyone, but if a human doesn't want to be saved, God must bow to the human will. What can I do? They didn't want to be saved. What am I supposed to do? Violate their free will? But of course, this verse and this verse alone disproves human free will. God is operating all in accord with the counsel of His will. So, what is the purpose of God with us? What are we going to be doing in heaven? This is another way to ask it. We will have an administration in the complement of the eras. That's how this started, talking about eras, time periods. I could name some eras for you, and then I'm going to get to the word complement, and then I'm going to tell you what that means. Eras, again, it is like the Garden of Eden time. That was an era. It was an era. Then there was the era of law when God called Moses. That was an era. It was a season. Things happened during this season. Then there was an era of, well, within these all these eras, there are sub-eras. There was a time of prophets, like Samuel, before there were any kings in Israel. Then there was the era of the kings. The era of the kings, Saul being the first king of Israel. Not Saul from not Saul the Pharisee from Tarsus, but Saul, King Saul. That was an era. Then there we are in the era of the grace of God. The nations at one time, in that era, Paul calls it in this very book, I think it's chapter 2, in that era, the nations were apart from God. So there was an era where the nations had no part of God, and there's an era when they have a part in God. So you can divide the time concerning the nations into two eras. One era before the nations had anything to do with God, and the next era after the nations have very much to do with God because God sends them a distinct message. But there are sub-eras, obviously, within those eras. If you want to just translate era season, which the Concordant Version does sometimes when it feels like it, Then you could say summer, fall, winter, and spring. Those are all eras. Those are seasons within larger eras. So there can be subdivisions of eras. You have this large era, then you have a subdivision, which would be, the large era would be the era of the time when the nations are receiving the grace of God. And within that era, we have the era of the tribulation. And then we have the era of the kingdom. So here's the takeaway as far as us having an administration of the complement of the eras. A complement. This is complement, not compliment with an I. A complement with an I is, Martin, your hair looks pretty dang short. Grow it out. But this word, complement, is that which fills. Complement, a complement. If you take a piece of cake from the cake, you leave a gaping hole in the cake. But if you replace the piece, that replaced piece is the complement of the cake. It fills the cake back up. Eve was said to be Adam's complement. That is, she filled what lacked. So a complement speaks of a filling of something that lacks. So how is it that the eras lack? If we are to have an administration of the complement of the eras, and the definition of this is to head up all in the Christ, then something is lacking. What is lacking? Right now, not all is headed up in the Christ. Christ has taken all power. I mean, he has all power, but he has not exercised all power. Things are not yet headed up in Christ because we still have rebellion on the earth. We still have Satan, who is designated the god of this eon, the prince of the power of the air. So Satan is not yet headed up in Christ. There will be an era where Satan is headed up in Christ. So there will be two eras for Satan. One era in which he's running rampant. He's still under God's control, ultimately. And another era where Satan himself is headed up under Christ. And so all the eras, when they are complete, we will see a beautiful picture of what God has been doing since the creation, since the beginning of his son. And only when we see the final puzzle piece put into place, that is the complement of the puzzle, the complement of what God has been doing, only then will we look back and say, oh yes, look at it. That's why that first era had to come, because it led to the second era. That era led to the third era, to the fourth era, and there is a final era. All the eras are going to be headed up. And when we say the complement of the eras, complement is that which fills, there's a time when all the eras will have come to pass, and then the whole picture will be seen. You see, you and I, looking at this scripture and looking at other scriptures that Paul gives us, because Paul gives us the farthest view in scripture of God's dealings, we already know how this thing ends. We already know how it ends. We know how the eras end. So we have an intelligence now, but when Christ snatches us away, we will not only have an intelligence of how the eras will end, but we are going to be utilized in bringing those eras to not necessarily an end, but to a fulfillment. We are going to bring all the eras, we're going to tie them all together, and they can only be tied together when they're finally completed. And so, starting with the next eon, the season of the kingdom on the earth, we're going to have some good times where God is going to be completing the eras, and he has designated the body of Christ to facilitate that process. We are going to complete, we're going to head up all in Christ. Here's Christ up here. We're going to head up. We're going to bring everything back to him. We're going to bring it. How are we going to do that? I don't know. Part of the thing is we're going to be a display vessel of the grace of God. So we are going to take everything and head it up in Christ. And this is the physical aspect of it, right? The heading up all in Christ. That's the physical aspect. You might call that the world, the cosmos. But what we're looking at here is the time aspect, the eras. So there's a physicalness, there's a physicality involved in heading up all in Christ, but involved in that on the calendar would be the complement of the eras. An administration, that is a practical thing. An administration is something that's administered. An administration, you're actually doing something. I love this word administration because it's so practical. It's not ethereal. It's not ungraspable, unreachable. That's why I love this word administration. And he is going to give us an administration. It's like an office with your name on the door. This is the department of the heading up of the eras. Yeah, probably. Department of the heading up of the eras. How'd you like that? That's big stuff. That's not like the head of the human resources department or even in the government, you know. The chief of HUD, urban development, the chief of finance, the chief of this, chief of that. It all sounds like big stuff. Vice president even sounds like big stuff. But here's big stuff. When you have a nameplate on your door with your name on it, and it says the Department of Heading Up All the Eras in Christ. Heading up not only the eras, but the creatures who are living in the eras. This is physical as well as having to do with time. And it's our task to do this. This is big. This is huge. And when I looked at this verse again, of course, I've read this 742 times. Today was the 742nd time. I look at my own call and I see that God has given me this desire to look at the big picture. I always like to look at the big picture and keep the big picture in mind. I hate getting lost in the forest. I hate just, you know, scratching at the bark on the trees, because I've seen so many people do that in Bible studies, and they're arguing this point and they don't even know what continent they're on. I would like to really, and I do, and I have, disturb Bible studies by saying, excuse me, why are we talking about this? What does it matter? And what continent are we on? Because people just get lost studying the ants and the little insects and the bark on the tree. I'm like, what the hell era are we in, people? What the hell continent are we on? Why is this important? Always keep that in mind. So here I find out that God has given me this natural inclination, and the thing that he's going to have me and you doing is to have an administration, that is a nameplate and an office, of the complement of the eras, the filling up of all the eras, which includes and involves heading up all in the Christ. So once the eras are complement, that is, once the last era comes in, like the piece of that pie or that cake that's missing, then all the eras will make sense and will be like, yes. So another way to look at this is we're going to cause the universe and the human beings who have been raised from the dead at one time or another, we're going to help them understand how each era fit together. And we're going to have the big picture, big time, telling them how it works, why the Garden of Eden era had to come, why the law era had to come. I do that now. I explain to people why law had to come before grace, why the era of innocence in the Garden of Eden had to come before the era of human government and the era of grace. It's just, I love putting everything in perspective. That's what I'm going to be doing full time in the Celestials, and you too. We're all going to be not only complementing the eras, but complementing each other. We're going to fit together so well in the coming eons as we complete the eras and head up all in Christ, that we're just going to be amazed at how God chiseled us on earth here in order to prepare us to fit perfectly together. And we see that happening even now, right? When we get together, we can tell that while we are being fit together, we already have a commonality of faith. And when we meet, like at these conferences like Richmond, we really, even those of us who have never met before, we hit the ground running. We instinctively know each other. I'm telling you, that's a clue for you that this is just the beginning of us fitting together in the future to head up all in the Christ and to be able to grasp the completing of the eras and to be a teller of it and a shower of it to not only human beings who have risen from the dead, but to the entire celestial population.